Right, here we go. We're up to Raviv. Almost Chamishi ready. Parshas, Rav Parshas, Vo'era. Vo'era, El Avraham, El Yitzhak, El Yaakov, B'tal Shakai. All right, so let's find the place first. Vo'era. We're up to the beginning of Dam. Okay, we're up to the Mak of Dam. Mak of Dam is Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay, that's what we'll do here. Okay, let's start from the Apostolic, Apostolic, Yud Zayin. Okay, correct, the blaze is correct. Apostolic, Yud Zayin. Kol Hashem, the base of that. Ki Ani Hashem, Ki Ani Hashem. The following way you will know. Ki Ani Hashem, the base of that. Ki Ani Hashem. Hinei Anochi Makeh B'Matei Hashem B'Yedi Alamayim Hashem B'Yor V'Nefchul Dam. This is the way you're going to know that I am Hashem. I'm going to smite with the Mate Asher B'Yedi Al Hamayim on the water. Asher B'Yor V'Nefchul Dam is going to turn into blood. So let's see this over here in the Hilchot Rashi. Rashi puts the Zayin v'Nefchul L'dam l'fi Sheni G'sham Yordim L'Mitzrayim V'Nilos Oilu Mashkes Oretz. We did this one yesterday. We'll just read the Rashi and we'll go to the next pasuk. And the Nilos is Oilu Mashkes Oretz Mitzrayim Ovdim L'Nilos L'fi Chach Hilchot Es Yerosam. First they smit the Yerosam, their god. V'Yachakach Hilchot Oisam. So over here is that when it comes to the Makos. First, they smit the god, and after they kill the god, then they go and they kill the. That's the rule. That's the Seder HaDevarim. You first got to wipe out the god of a nation before you wipe out the nation itself. Okay, good. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudches V'Adlagah Shabayim Tamus, the fish. Asher Bayar Tamus will die. We did this also yesterday. Did we do this yesterday with Va'ush? We do this also from the Rashi. Okay, they were weary. They were trying to find this solution. Vinilu Mitzrayim, they went and they wore themselves out. So Rashi really is coming to inject into the pasuk words that it does not say. It says Vinilu, they'll become tired, weary. Why are they tired? Why are they weary? They're tired and weary from looking for a solution. It doesn't say, though, because the pasuk does not say what they're getting tired from. The pasuk does not tell you why they're getting tired. It just says they're going to get tired. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiyeh bidvaray. V'nilu Mitzrayim. They're going to get tired looking for refuah, so that they can lishtoy smay min ayot. Let's now go to pasuk yitas. Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe emor el Aaron kach matucha unite yotcha al meme hayor. Take your mat and stretch it out on the meme hamitzrayim al naharoy some their rivers al yoyrehem. What's in the yor? Yor means, I guess, it means a smaller tributaries, right? Something like that. The al ag mehem, their swamps. The al kol mikvei mehem, all of the gatherings of water. The Olympic size swimming pools. The yihi yudam. The hoya dam chol eretz Mitzrayim. There will be dam in the whole land of Egypt. Uve eitzim, amongst the wood, and uvo avonim, the stone. Now, what does that mean? Why is there blood in wood and stone? Wood and stone have no water. So all of this needs to be understood. So here, let's first talk about the body of water. Body of water. How many bodies of water are there in this pasuk? Nahar, yor, agam. Mikvei Mayim, four. There are four bodies of water in this pasuk that I presented. And then it says there's going to be blood also in Eitzim and Avonim for a total of six. Four bodies of water plus two different objects, wood and stone, six different places. Who's going to do this? Aaron's going to do this, not Moshe. Moshe Emorel Aharon. Aaron's going to take the mate of Moshe, your mate. He's going to spread it out on the waters of Mitzrayim. Well, the truth is, Reb Lezer, really, there are only five things. Because it says here, Meimei is one. Meimei is separate. There's Meimei. Naharosam is two. Yoirehem is three. Agmehem is four. The alcohol Mikvei Meimehem is five. So if you want to go say that the word Meimei, Mitzrayim is already called one, we have a total of five different bodies of water, which Aaron is going to spread out the mat and is going to strike. And then there is Eitzim and Avonim. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi over here, Pasuk Yitzchak, says, Immoral Aaron. Why Aaron? Why is Aaron the one that's doing this and not anata Moshe. Shlufisha hegin hayor al Moshe kisha nishlach lesoichai. The yor protected Moshe when he was thrown inside. Lufikli for the loka al yoda le bedam le bitzar deim. Not by dam, not by tzar deim. The loka al yide Aaron. Now someone asked me this question last Friday night. I told him I don't know the answer. He asked me, I mean, I don't know, it was last week, but he asked me Parashas Vayera. Why is the Yor, why do we say the Yor protected Moshe? Moshe's mother, whoever, they threw Moshe into the Yor. The Yor would drown Moshe. The Yor was the object, kolabein hayiloid, every child that is born shall be thrown into the water to die, to drown. So the Yor is a threat to the life of Moshe. They put him in a basket. The basket protected Moshe from drowning. The Yor is the...
The construction of the basket. How they constructed it.
So the basket protected... The basket is what protected Moshe from the earth. The basket, but not the water. The water was a threat. We want to welcome 2801. I don't know who that is. We'd love to welcome you to the shir, but I don't know who that is. Is that Mayor? Is that Mrs. Glatter?
Of course.
It's you. Have a new phone? You got a new phone? A new phone?
No, my other phones don't sound right, so I have a problem. One of them
wanted
to zoom, and one of them, I found a third phone that works.
So many phones. I noticed that all the people, they're very complicated people, they have all these phone numbers, so many phone numbers. It's like you go to yeshivas, the guy goes learning brisk, and mir, and this, and this. You learn one yeshiva, one telephone number. Some people on my phone, I go try to call them, I literally have 10 telephone numbers for them. I call this one, sorry, this doesn't work. Like, I don't understand you guys. You have 10 telephone numbers. Every day you switch to a new number? You have one telephone number. That's what happens when you learn Zohar in the middle of the night. Okay, weiter.
So this is my tikkun chatzos.
So Mayor, how do you answer this question? Someone asked me last week a question. Over here it says that this Rashi, we just went over here, that the Yor, Moshe was not permitted to smite the Yor because the Yor saved Moshe. What are you talking about? The Yor was a threat to Moshe. Kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashlichuhu. The Yor is a threat to the existence.
Yeah, but he was in the basket. He was in the basket.
So the basket is what saved Moshe. The basket saved Moshe, not the Yor. The Yor was the threat to Moshe, and it didn't save him.
The Yor brought the basket to Pisgah.
It doesn't say that. He's saying. What do you mean the water was the danger to him? The water is the threat. Kol habein hayiloid.
It was a danger for him, but it also saved him.
I don't understand how it saved him.
If you are in a boat, what are you traveling in? You're traveling in a boat or you're traveling on the water?
On the water. Or both.
Right. The boat itself is helpless without the water.
All right. This needs more clarity. Over here it says, why? Because I'm going to say, Hagin Hayor Al Moshe. That really needs to be understood. Al Aaron. So over here, we're learning over here, you said that there were two makos, specifically two makos that Moshe Rabbeinu did not saw, that Moshe did not himself bring upon the Egyptians out of Hakaras Hatoif to the surface, to the Mayim. The Mayim did not turn into blood, and the Tzvardim, they come from the Mayim. The Tzvaradim come from the Mayim Mamil, so Moshe cannot hit the
You have to think even more. If he was in the water, didn't the Egyptians see a little boat floating in the water?
Yeah?
What?
Hello?
Yeah, what did you say?
Hello?
We're here. We're listening. Hello? We're listening. You hear us? Hello? You hear me?
If you could also see a boat on the water, they would know there was a baby. But the yard took him and hid him amongst the bushes.
He's saying a chiddush. I never heard this, that they say that the Yor made a decision.
Where did she put him in the water?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where she
put him. She put him in the garden or wherever she lives. He lives in the garden. So she put him in the water, and the water brought him safely under the bushes, so no one saw the water, no one saw the boat, and they brought it straight to where Bithya was.
What is the term of that?
I hear what you're saying.
It could have brought him anywhere. It could have brought him to where people went to drink. Other Egyptians could have found him.
Okay, I hear, fine. All right, let's go further. Okay, Nihoroi Sam, Haim, Nihoroi Sam, Moshrim, Kein Nihoros. Rashi says, what are all these different words? First it says, on the Meme Mitzrayim. Then it says over here, so L'chora, I mean, if you really want to want to say, you can say there are five different bodies of water. Nihoros Sam is number one, then it says the Meme Mitzrayim, that's number one. Number two is Nihoros Sam, number three is Yorayim, number four is Agmehem, and number five is the Mikvei Memehem. However, it's much more likely that the Meimei Mitzrayim is an introduction. The Meimei Mitzrayim is an introduction to all the different types of bodies of water. And what are the bodies of water? Introduction. Oh, if you want to know what the Meimei Mitzrayim are, I'll tell you. There are Naharoi Sam, there are Yorayim, there are Agmehem, there are called Mikvei Memehem. So there are four. There's the Klal and the Prat. Okay, that's l'chor what the Rav means. Now, what are these four different bodies? What's the Rav? He says l'chor some means hema l'chor some moshchim kein l'chor shalano. These are flowing rivers. Where does the water river come from? It comes from melted ice and melted snow. Then it says ye'oy rehem. What's that heim? Berechos nigrarim ha'suyos b'dei adam. What does the rehem mean? These are berechos nigrarim, also flowing pools. In other words, irrigation canals. Okay, makes it very, very clear. The Yorayim is a canal that was dug by a human being. A human being dug this canal in order to direct the flow of water to this brecha. Okay, next, what does it mean? Ag mehem, a swamp. Kivutzas mayim she'enam noivim ve'ein moshchim elo oimdim b'mokim mecha v'kerm loy. It means it's stationary. It's a swamp. A swamp, it's a lake. A lake or a swamp. Then comes, and then it says, kol, then the Rashi does not tell us the next word, the meimei mikvehem. What does that mean? What's the chilik between a swamp and the next word? Rashi over here is only telling us of the five terms that I mentioned in the Pasuk. Rashi only defines three of the five. Now you'll say that the first one is just going to be a general description of the water, the Meimei Mitzrayim. Then when it says Naharoi Sam, this means a flowing. Naharoi Sam means a flowing river, naturally flowing from Hashem. Yo'orehem means an irrigation canal that was dug by a human being. Agmehem is a swamp, it doesn't move, period. And then when it says V'al kol mikveh memehem, it doesn't tell you what kind of body of water that is. It seems like it's not flowing, that's for sure. Mikveh means it's gathered together. Memehem. Okay, the mikveh. I saw there in Meir, my conspiracy sites, I saw that they did not define Chabad. They right away make a conspiracy. They're very anti-Semitic, these sites. They said it was to a woman's ritual bath. Meir, you hear? That's not true. Chabad, it was to a male's ritual bath, not a woman's ritual. These sensationalists.
What's not true?
Chabad. What's going on in Chabad? They dug a tunnel. It says here in the news they dug a tunnel to a woman's ritual bath. They didn't dig a tunnel to a woman's ritual bath. They did it to a men's mikveh.
No. It was once. For a very short time.
All right, not now. I didn't mean to get in this little Torah. Vaita, I shouldn't have done that. Vaita, okay, next. Vaita, let's go over here. Agmeyem is b'chol eretz mitzrayim af b'merchatzois uv'am tib'ois shebebatim. In the whole land of Egypt, which means where? In the bathhouses and the ambati. What's an ambati? What is the difference between a bathhouse and an ambati? The ambatois. Ambatois, you have in the Gemara very often. It means a bathhouse. So what is the difference between these two terms in the Rashi? I do not know. Then it says over eitzim over eitzim avonim ma'im shabekli eitzim v'kli oven. So Rashi answers that question. It means over here. Oh wait a minute. Maybe when it says over here, the whole meimei, I've got called mikvei meimei here, but you don't call no. B'chol eretz Mitzrayim means bathhouses. So there's another body of water. And then when it says uveita means in a utensil, a wooden utensil, uvavana means a stone utensil. Okay, so therefore we're done with Rashi. I just want to review what we learned again in the pasuk very quickly inside. Then Aaron shall take the matav of Moshe. He shall spread out his hand. Al meimei Mitzrayim. Rashi does not define what it means, meimei Mitzrayim. And we are making an assumption that this is a general hakdama to all the waters. What are all the waters? There are Naharoi Sam, naturally flowing, V'al Yorehem, man-made irrigation canals, V'al Agmehem, swamps, natural, maybe what it means in Aga means a natural swamp. And the Al Kol Mikveh Mehem, maybe that means a swamp that's made by human beings. A ditch that's dug by a human being. Like the parallel, just like in the beginning of the Pasuk, the difference between the Nahor and Yor is the difference between natural and man-made. Maybe when we talk about bodies of water that do not move, that are stationary, the two terms are, one is a body of water which is natural. Agam is a natural body, natural swamp. And the Meimei Mikvehem, which is an unnatural. It was dug out by human beings. Could be. They do this, you know, they do this when they make a development. Like in Lakewood, they have these developments. So along the outskirt of the development, they dig a very big ditch. They dig a very big pit. Why? Because somehow, I don't know how it works, but somehow the topography is they want all the water, when it rains and snow, to go into that pit. They somehow, when they start with making a development, you know, this big, they have like 100 houses, this big area. So they're very sophisticated. They don't just go and put up houses. They first treat the whole land. They can be a massive piece of land. The massive chunks of land. The first thing they do is they develop the topography of the land. Either it's already naturally done. I guess to some degree it's natural. You know, the hills and whatever it is. And they see the lowest point of where the water will naturally flow. And that area, they dig a big pit. And they have a fence around it. My brother lives in Lakewood, so he lives in a development. It's not new; it's been around already a while. But there's this like where he is. There's like this outside this massive pit. Not a pit. It's like you can't fall into it, but it goes all the way down. And I asked him, "What's this for?" So he says, "This thing is basically to collect all of the water that flows." When you have a lot of, it rains like now, raining. When it rains a lot, where's all the water going to go? Where does it go? So okay, over here in New York City, so they have a very good sewer system. A whole network of 100 years already of pipes and pipes and pipes and this, azoy. So there they don't have that in New Jersey. So in these developments, they have these big pits. So those are not natural. When they make the land, they come with these massive bulldozers and they go and they create them. So I am suggesting, that's what it means over here, the Meimei Mikvehem. It's a natural pit in the ground. Okay, so we did the Rashi, spent a lot of time. Let's see what it says in the Targum. The Targum Pasuk Yutes says, V'amar Hashem Moshe Eimar, L'Aaron say to Aaron, Saf means take, Chutroch, your staff, V'areim, Yudoch, lift up your hand, Almaya Dimitzray, on the water of Egypt. The Alon Narehoin, upon the Narehoin means upon the rivers. The Al Artehoin, upon the irrigation canals. The Al Agmehoin, upon the ditches, the swamps. The Al Kolbeis Kineshos, the gathering places of Meimehoin. The Hoin Dema, and there should be blood. The Hei Dema, there will be blood. B'chol Ara de Mitzrayim. Uve Monei O'o, utensils. So Monei means the utensils are made from wood. Uve Mone Avno, utensils of stone. Now, let me look at the commentator, Pasuk Yutes. Let's see if he has any chidushim over here on Pasuk Yutes on the Ma'at Sori. Va'arem, I'm going to scan it very quickly. Moya Maya Dimitzroi, Mayim Shal HaMitzriyim. Ve'lefarish Mimei Mitzrayim, El Shal Eretz Mitzrayim. Okay. וכן אמר חזל בשמשם שמי ישראל מכו מים למצרים וכן לכמון ולא יאכלו מצרים לשטויס ולא יאכלו מצרוי. Okay, so he's saying over here an idea. He's saying over here something that's very important, I think. We go back to the pasuk. It says Mitzrayim twice. Okay, he says something very important. This is Kedai, that's why we came tonight, to learn this. Al Meimei Mitzrayim, the first pasuk, Emeril Al Aaron, Kach Matcha, Umite Yotcha, Al Meimei, the waters of Mitzrayim. Remember that. That's the first mention of Mitzrayim. Then the pasuk goes on. Al Naharoisam, Yal Yoriam, Yal Agmeyam, Yal Kol Mikvei, Meyam, Yudom, Chvoyodom, Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. So it says in this pasuk Mitzrayim twice. First it calls it the Meimei Mitzrayim, and then it says it's going to be blood, Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. What is the difference between Eretz Mitzrayim and the Meimei Mitzrayim? So the Targum is always a great place to go look. He says the Maya, the Mitzrayim. The end of the pasuk it says V'edama b'chol ara de Mitzrayim. So in the beginning it calls Mitzrayim, and the end it says Mitzrayim. What's the difference? Mitzrayim means an Egyptian, a person who has a passport that states that he is an Egyptian citizen. That's called the waters of the Egyptian citizens. This does not mean the water of the land of Egypt. Egypt has a massive piece of land, and there are a lot of waters. There is rivers and this, azoy. No, that's not where that's not what the pasuk means. It means the water that belongs to an Egyptian, which would seem to indicate that if you have a body of water in Egypt, you have a swimming pool, and the swimming pool is owned by a Jew, or let's say it's owned by a foreigner. By an American, or by an Argentinian, or by someone, a member of France or Germany, that body of that swimming pool was not going to turn into blood, because that swimming pool is not owned by an Egyptian citizen. But then the end of the pasuk says there was blood. It behold the entire Arad the Mishra. It doesn't necessarily mean that there was blood. Every single water was blood. It means there were a lot of Egyptians. I mean, Egypt, it's not like America. Open borders, you know, they didn't have open borders those days. Anyone can just walk into the country and do whatever you want. Those days, you know, most people lived in the country were Egyptians. So therefore, there was a lot of blood. But Enoch and Ami, if you go look around, you'll find a guy who's there on a visiting permit, you know, a guy that has a visa to be there for 3 months, and he has a swimming pool. There's no blood there. That's what it means. So yeah, over here, two different terms. Time over here is coming to make this point very clear. So that's what it says over here in the Ma'at. Sorry. Hashem's to Moshe, and more like that. So, Stena Yimate, Al Meimei Mitzrayim, upon the waters of the Egyptian citizens. They have to own the water in order for it to be smitten. And then the pasuk says, what's going to be? There's going to be blood. Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. Does that mean there's going to be a second Makkah? That even a body of water that's not owned by an Egyptian citizen is also going to be smitten? Maybe, yeah, maybe not. Or maybe what it means is there's going to be a lot of blood in the land of Egypt. I mean, that since the majority of the people who live in Egypt were Egyptian citizens, there was a lot of blood in Egypt. Okay, that is the question. So that's over here.
Okay, but by this logic, if an Egyptian was in a different country, would his water
excellent
be covered?
Yeah. So maybe that's exactly what it means to say. Yes, that's what it seems like. According to what it says in the Targum, you see, you're triggering some memories, like back in kindergarten when they told us these Midrashim, the Medrash says, these Midrashim, you know, I remember they would say an Egyptian who lived in another part of the world, had a cup of water, all of a sudden he looked in this cup, his blood. Oh, but he's not in Egypt. That's exactly what the Targum says. The Meimei Mitzrayim is translated as water, Maya Demitzro'eh, of an Egyptian citizen. The end of the pasuk says there was blood, Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. Maybe that means, let's say you have an American living in Egypt, the blood was also water. Both, Il Chumrah. Maybe they were both. Anything in the boundary of Egypt was blood, and any Egyptian citizen who lived anywhere in the world, his water also turned into blood. That's what the Targum appears to be saying according to the Ma'at Tzori. Okay, next. The next chiddush over here is the Arite Hoin. Arite Hoin, we said over here, was an irrigation canal. Arita hu loshon chazal arita the loy v'hu amasamayim shemashkim. Now, what is arita the loy? That means a bucket. I don't know what arisa means. Shemashkim enu hasos v'al imashu kosulel. No, I don't know what it means. Okay, it means like we said, an irrigation canal. Okay, base kineshos me mehon. Over here it says over here mokam asivos me mehon. I'm bereshis shkosam v'rebenu v'chayim shekom esul hachafir shehi base. Amikva shemam nikuyim shom. Shoizmen b'milah mikvei. Harasa mokam. Ooh, look at that. Koloima mokam asivas kavei. Hamayim. Wow. V'lochein targumay bayis. So what does Targum over here say? Base. Mikve. Oh, wow. It's kedai to come tonight for this. This is amazing. V'lochein mishkan mokam shu. Wow. I didn't know this. This must be very famous. This sounds like a very famous thing which I never heard of. Kumakam shkina mikdash, kumakam kedusha mokam, mokam hu hashetach. Kum, shakam in love. Wow, it's kedai to wake up today for this. This is very good. He says all goes through all of these words. They have they begin with the letter mem, a long collection of words. Makoim, mikdash, mishkan, mikvah, a mikvah. So what are all these words? So he says the letter mem always stands for the term makoim. Just the letter mem. The next three letters is defining what is this makom. So let's say it's a mishkan. What is mem is the makom. Shechon shochein means to reside. It is the makom where Hashem's divine presence rests. It is shochein. Mikdash, a makom that is kadosh. A, what other words did he give over here? Even the word makom. What does the word makom mean? The word itself. Wow, that's like a play, a word within a word. What does the word makom mean? It is a makom kum. A place, a location where you can stand up. You can establish yourself. Of a piece of land, it's called makom. The mem by itself means makom. Means a place, and then the next three letters means kum. This is where you can stand up and declare, this is my land. It's my land. So it's interesting, the word makom, the mem means makom, but in the word makom itself, it means a makom of kum. It's you're going two layers, you can go infinite all the way down. Every time you have the letter mem in the beginning of a word, at least in a noun, it seems, it means a location, a makom. And then the next three letters. So here's the word, kaveh. What does the word kaveh mean? So it has different meanings. The koyveh Hashem yachalifuch, the koyeh. There are two words, there's koyeh, kaveh. But it means here, it seems to mean over here, a gathering. That's what it seems to mean is I don't know. What does it mean? He writes, let me read over here. Mokem asivos me mehom ein bereshis rabo bereshis shakosu shem shem rabbeinu bachi shagunos lecha chafiru shi beis mokem yeshayim is me mok mikva mokem asivos samayim. The word kuf vav hey, I don't know what that word means. Kuf vav, I always said it meant mean hope. Let's ask Google. What does this word mean? Kuf vav hey. Kuf vav hey.
Could it be like, maybe it means mikveh, like
mikveh? No, that's exactly what he's saying. Over here in modern Hebrew, it means a line. V'koyvei Hashem yachalifu choyach. All right. Over here he seems to say, so therefore he's saying like this. He's saying a mikveh is a mokoim of gathering. Kuf vav hey. The Ma'at Sari is telling us means literally to gather. Okay? I don't know how that means gather, but let's trust him. So therefore, that's why, and by example, every time you have a word, a noun, with a mem in the beginning, followed by whatever you have, the first letter means it's a place. And various and very good examples. A mishkan, a mikdash, and the word makom itself. The first letter means it's a place, and then the next three letters tell you what happens in this place. Shochein, Hashem rests his divine presence. You have a makoim that is kodesh, mikdash. You have a makoim. The word makoim itself means a location where kum. You can stand up and declare this to be your, it's mine, kum. You stand there. This is my place. Now, what's the proof to this? This is what's so beautiful about this. How do you, who are you making this stuff up? Who says you can say such a thing? You can make things up. You just say, just because it's makoim, there's the letter mem, it means a location. Look at the Targum. Because the Targum says, what is the title of a mikvah? The Targum says, it is, what pasuk are we in? Pasuk Yotes. It says, V'al kol beis kineshos. He calls a mikvah is a bayis. Excuse me, where does it say the word bayis? Base. A base? What are you talking about? The word mikvah. A mikvah is a collection of water. He says base kineshos. That's a mikvah. Mikveh mayim. Mikveh is a base kineshos. The mem of the word mikvah is like the mem of the word mishkan, mikdash. It means a makom. And what is a makom? A bayis. A makom, a bayis is your makom. Right? That's where you go. You go when you leave the shir, you go to the bayis. You go to your makom. Makom. So that's why the Targum injects into his commentary the word base. And then mikvah kuf vav hey is kineshos, is the gathering. Gathering of what? The next word the pasuk says, mei mehem, of their waters. So saying over here that's what I mean, Philip. It's a very, very shot. You have to keep this in mind every time you come across over here, this word, that's what it means. Hamokoim yinachem eschem. Baruch HaMokoim Baruch Hu. So Hashem is called Mokoim. Hashem is the base of Kum. Hashem is the place. You know, you say HaMokoim Yinachem is Kum, to stand up. Why do you use the word Mokoim by an Avel? An Avel is stuck in the mud. He sits down on the floor. He sits down, he's sitting on the floor, and you basically, by giving him the chumma, you're telling him, get up from your mourning. That's the attempt after, that's why the end of the 7 days, the last day, all the people, they come to the Yovel, and they tell the Yovel, get up. And the Yovel gets up. So that's what you do on the last day, but everything they do, all of the days, from day one until day seven, is only hachona, for the ultimate nechama of day seven, when Itaka, he gets up. So why do you say the word makoim? Because you say that this should be for you a place of kum, where you can rise up. Don't stay in the mud. Don't get stuck in the mud. This location should be a place where you have the ability to kum, to pick yourself up. Whole new taich in the word makoim. Okay, the whole new idea and how he touched the word makoim. All right, so that's what he says over there. That was very short. Mikvah is a makoim or a bayis of kuf of hay, which means to gather. Okay, then he goes into over here the utensils, kleit levonim, what the kleitens of wood and utensils of stone. Kosev shemar belozim migar miza shamayim bekle matochas loynep. Oh wow, look at this! Look at this! It says here in the pasuk, the water in utensils of wood and utensils of stone turned into blood. What about if you have stainless steel or lead? A lead utensil, which is poisonous, or glass, crystal. So the pasuk here says that the only water that turned into blood was these bodies of water that are on the ground. And water in a utensil had to be either stone or wood. But it's mashma. Let's say it's metal, it's glass, it's plastic, styrofoam, or our very favorite, paper, like in the morning cola, the most valuable commodity.
In that time, it would be a skin.
What do you mean?
A skin, like
a skin, leather, yeah, leather, canteen.
Leather.
Leather, yeah. So he says over here, the Pasuk only says utensils made out of wood or stone turned into blood. So if you have water in metal or, after the morning call, paper, it's more valuable than anything. The most valuable thing in society today is a plastic bag. Try to find someone to give you a plastic bag. What a chutzpah. I go to the two Chinese stores in the Avenue M. One of them refuses to give a plastic. The other one, they give me a plastic. Now they stop. Now they give already. So I said to the guy, how come all of a sudden now you're giving me plastic bags? You didn't give me plastic bags for... He says, you just got to give the inspector a couple of bucks. That's what he said to me. If a Jew would say that, they'd put him in jail. The Chinese guy who owns the store, he says to me, all the customers want the plastic bags. Everyone. Mish, retarded. You can't have plastic bags. They're so worried about all the Mishagasim. No more plastic bags. Who's interested? Give me a plastic bag already, Mishugana. So he says, we know that. So when the inspectors come, we give them a couple of dollars. They go to the next store. If they would try that in a firm store, they'd be in the news trying to bribe someone. I would never do it. The worst thing you can do, the worst crime, never try to give a cop a bribe. Some of these guys, the yeshiva guys, they don't know that. They don't know that. They get pulled off for a red for speeding on the highway. They take out a $20 bill. They're retarded. They can sit in jail. They can mamish go to jail for that. Okay, you gotta be very careful. I used to bribe the sanitation. I used to do this all the time. A lot of garbage, all the time. So I would give money. It took everything. The last time I did it, the guy, he looked here and there, and he said to me, can't do this. I'll tell you what to do. So I'm telling you, I'm telling you the honest truth. The guy had looked, I can't take the money. I'm not allowed to. I'll tell you what you do. So walk down the block and like just casually drop the money on the floor. On the sidewalk. I mean, you walk ahead. Like, you know, the truck is going down this way. So you walk ahead, just like drop the money on the sidewalk. We'll take all the garbage, don't worry. We'll take whatever you want. And we walk down to the next house, we'll pick up the money. This is what the guy told me, the sanitation guy told me to do. And I did it. And it worked. He took away. Today, I'm afraid to do it already. I wouldn't do it anymore. Today, I'm too afraid to do it. After COVID, I learned about what goes on in this world. Ever since I got a smartphone, and I learned what goes on in this world on my conspiracy theory channels, it ruined me. In mamish, I became like mayor almost. So almost. It ruined my whole perception of what goes on in this world. I'm afraid to do it today. I'm almost afraid to do it today. Okay, Vaita. So over here it says, unbelievable. It says over here, the utensils. What does that mean? And when the waters of the Yor are dirty, He's saying over here something fascinating. This sounds like something, Schneer Lyman. This is like right up his alley. He says here that if you go and you study the ancient Egyptian books, it says that when the water is dirty, there's a way to filter the water. You know what you do? You put in the water utensils, wood and stone utensils, and the wood and stone utensils somehow absorb all of the impurities, and it makes the water perfectly clean. Okay, it's a technique. This is what he said over here. In ancient times, this was the technique. The technique was, you go out to the water, if the river is dirty, Why is the river dirty? I don't know why. For some reason, it's dirty. You bring out into the rivers wood and metal utensils, and you drop it into the river. And you come back in a couple of days, and the river is crystal clear. Because the wood and metal utensils somehow, whether it's due to gravity, it's due to absorption, it's due to this, I don't know how it works. Scientifically, it works.
Yeah, but more practically, if you take flowing water, it will be always like disturbances. The particles will be in the water. But if you take, put the water in a steel, in a utensil.
And then right, okay, right.
It will settle.
It'll settle. The dirt was the sediment. Okay.
They built like walls, wooden walls.
That it should sell like dam. They dammed the water. They dammed the water that it should not go. Okay, Kobe, whatever it be, but it says that there was a technique using wood and stone to purify, to filter the water. Over here, in this shul over here, they have down to the filter. So the person who runs the mikveh, he showed me how the filter works. It's a fact. You know what it is? It's sand. All it is regular sand. And the filter forces the water to go through the sand, and it automatically collects. There's no grace chachma. It's just a very strong pump that pushes the water through the sand, and the sand holds back all the impurities. That's how the filter works. So it says over here, it's unbelievable shot, what it says over here. And it says here that v'chayodam b'chol erishayim uvo eitzim uvo avanim, even in the eitzim, the avanim, the filtration system did not work. There was dam b'chol eretz mitzrayim, even in the, I think what you're saying was correct, they would take if the water is dirty, really BMS, if you put the water in metal utensils, plastic, is blood. Anywhere there was water, it turned into blood. So why then does it say that there was blood in the wood and in the stone? It means even the people who took the water to filter the water, and they did the cutting edge technology of putting water in wood and stone, it didn't make a difference. It didn't make a difference. The water remained filthy, dirty. But of course, there was blood in every type of utensil. That's an amazing pshat. That's an amazing thing. That was kedai to come to learn over here today. All right, so we learned over here a lot of chidushim tonight. Baruch Hashem, we learned about the filtration system. We learned about the word makayim. What the word makayim means, it means a bias of kum. A bias where you stand up. And that's why we say by hamakom and makom yinachem yeschem, because the whole purpose of nechama is to stand up. It's a bias of kum. Don't get stuck in the mud. And mishkan, mikdash, every time you have a mem, it means a bias. It's a bias of whatever the next three letters are, and a mikvah is a bias of a gathering of water. A bias of a gathering. That's why the Targum says the word bias. What else did we learn today? We learned over here about the different types of bodies of water, the natural flowing, the nor, the man-made flowing, the yor, a swamp, which is a natural pit, and a man-made pit. And we learned about the two types of Mitzrayim. There is the Meimei Mitzrayim, the Meimei Mitzrayim, which is the Mitzrayei, and the land of Egypt. Any Egyptian, no matter where you live in the world, his blood, his water turned into blood, because that's the Targum says, the Meimei, the Mitzrayei of the Egyptians, and the land. Okay, I think that covers it. Baruch Hashem, thank you for coming. If you wouldn't come alone with me, I would.